Hello, everyone. This is Clarissa Bell, and welcome to the weekly teleclass. And in this class, we will be discussing topics, or I will be discussing topics that are designed to expand our awareness and deepen our consciousness. And it's also a class where I teach about the science of the cards, also known as destiny cards and cardology. And for those on the in the class who'd like a mini reading, I will be giving mini readings as time permits. So as always, I'd like to start off with a meditation. So if you're somewhere where you can close your eyes, please do so. If not, just relax and take in these words. We ask for support in consciousness in assisting us in awakening and deeply opening our hearts and inspiring and empowering us to experience the truth about ourselves. And we ask for support in feeling our connection with the essence of everyone and everything in the universe at all times, so that we can truly know and feel that we are one. And so it is. Today's topic is going to be space. But before I get into space, I'm just going to do a brief recap of last week's class, which is transcending the creation of good and bad. And this is sort of like a continuation of last week's class. So if you want more detail and you missed the last week's class, you can download that and listen to that. But this is a brief recap. So nothing is good or bad except in our thinking. Our thinking makes it so. Bad exists only in our minds and by our creation of it. Bad is the doorway to suffering. It's actually impossible to suffer without first having created an opinion of bad. Nothing is good or bad, and everything has characteristics, prices, and consequences. Consequences are positive or negative. They are never bad. We acquire wisdom through experiencing the consequences of our actions. And without wisdom, power and love can destroy. So wisdom is very important. We learn to deal with each thing according to its nature without distorting that nature with our opinions of bad. We can transcend the creation of good and bad by using the value system of positive and negative and love and anti-love. And by learning to gradually de-energize all the bads that we have already created in our past. And the first step to doing that is to come to view ourselves from a condition of space. And so I'd like to talk about space today. So space, what is space? Well, I'm going to give you some definitions of space, okay? In the physical universe, space is nothingness. It's zero energy and matter. Space is the absence of all realities and energy objects. It's the opposite polarity of density. So you could say space in space has the capacity to obtain objects. Also, objects cancel space. If you think about a room, you see there's space in the room, and you start to put furniture in the room, it begins to sort of cancel out the amount of space that's in the room. But we can also create and restore space by eliminating what's previously there. If you take out the furniture, then you begin to have more space. So that's just a definition of physical space to kind of help us come to an understanding of what I'm calling, you know, psychanic space. So as related to consciousness, space is consciousness without the content, without without realities, without our experience, okay? And each of us has what non-physical space. You could say it's our conscious energy field. And in this conscious energy field, we form and manipulate our experience and our realities, which includes our thoughts, our ideas, our emotions. It includes the area where we can perceive, like you're perceiving now me speaking, but it also includes the space further out, which we're not perceiving in this moment, but it's still there. You could say it's in our subconscious somewhere. So as related to the mind, space is the absence of all thought, all mental realities and ideas and thought forms. It's consciousness without mental content, and that would include the absence of our creation or opinion of bad. As it regards to emotion, space is the absence of you know, our emotions. And most importantly, it's the absence of the activations of the emotions that cause pain and suffering. And so we could say space is neutral emotional experience. It's the absence of activations and of reactivity. And in regards to the polarity, the space is the point of neutral polarity on any spectrum, okay? And then for our what we're discussing, we're interested mainly in the polarities of good and bad and love and anti-love, because we've been dealing with, you know, the creation of good and bad and love and anti-love. So you could say if space is the neutral point of any polarity, so you could say bad would actually be an entry point for all negative emotion and pain, and if space is the absence of bad and anti-love, then space is actually the first point where we begin to encounter and move out of this pain and suffering and out of this anti-love into love on the polarity spectrum. So you could say space is the end of anti-love and the beginning of love, okay? So these are some definitions of space and also some qualities of space. Well, space is to grant beingness. Like you say, God grants beingness to everything that exists. It gives it all the space to be. So space is to grant beingness. To give space to something is to permit it to be, to exist as it is, without invalidation or resistance or judgment. It is to grant a person or an event or an experience its beingness, to be exactly as it is, okay? Acceptance and tolerance are qualities of space. Space is the ability to contain viewpoints and realities. Someone who has very little space or low space would be resistant to the viewpoint of others, okay? But the most important space I want to talk about is how to give space to ourselves. To let ourselves be as we are and as we are not without invalidation is the beginning of all self-esteem. It's the beginning of all self-love. And self-love is the beginning of love, period, which includes love for others. We can't really love others if we don't love ourselves. We can't give what we are not and what we do not have. So to give space is to stop all invalidation and negative self-criticism, is to terminate the generation of negative energy towards ourselves, is to stop activating and beating ourselves up over our deficiencies and our failures, is to give ourselves space to be human, to have faults and weaknesses, is to accept ourselves as we are. So you could say space is the end or the termination of our negative self-energy. And this actually opens the way for us to generate positive energies of love towards ourselves. Again, space is the beginning of love. So often, you know, as we discussed in a few of the previous classes, we want to change because we are validating how we are. We're invalidating who we're being. We're labeling ourselves as bad and wrong for being as we are. We want to change then as a solution to this idea that who we are is bad, okay? And this is pure resistance, as we discussed earlier. And we've already seen how resistance just causes persistence. So when we resist how we are, we cause ourselves to persist in that very same manner that we are resisting. When we accept ourselves as we are and fully experience in space who we are, in space giving it the right to be, to exist, then that manner that we were being begins to actually discreate or dissolve into the natural flow of life, okay? So life is change. Change is the only constant. Life really is always changing. That's the nature of life. When we resist, we stop the flow of life. It's like we just dam it up. We stop the natural flow of change, and that includes self-change. So when I'm no longer stuck in resistance, there exists space for the old way of being to naturally flow and for something new to be created. So upon giving ourselves space and letting ourselves be as we are in that moment, we cease to resist, and therefore we can begin to move and to change again naturally, okay? So this is a law. Space is the beginning of change. So change starts with space. which is the acceptance of what is exactly as it is. And energy flows in and to space. But negative energy, remember, equals resistance, and that blocks the flow of energy. So we really want to begin the change, we have to first give space to whatever is there and whatever is existing. And space is really our nature. It's our essence. It's part of our God essence that comes from our original space, which is God. God gives space to everything. We don't need to create space. We just need to stop creating its opposite, mainly these opinions of bad and then the resistance that comes with that and then all the negative energy and anti-love that's around that, okay? And so when we can know that we're the creator, that we're the cause of our creations, including our creation of bad and all these resistances and all that leads to, when we really move to a condition of being responsible for our creations, our thoughts, our identities, our emotions, we move from being at the effect of all of this to being able to be cause. And then when we're at cause, being the creator, we can decide to be in space instead of being in resistance. And so I'm just going to just do a quick exercise and, you know, on being in space. So if you can, just close your eyes and just imagine that there's a golden ball of light right in the middle of your right behind your eyes. You could say like the third eye, or the third eye. It's called the third eye, but just right in the center of your head. You could just say right between your eyes and right in the smack dab. And just imagine this golden light. It's like a magnet. It's just so a very, very powerful magnet, and it has the ability to just magnetize all the thoughts that are outside of you about other things or the people in the field, things you have to do. Just imagine that it's just right in your head, and it's just magnetizing all of your thoughts, all of your energies, and bringing it right back to you. Just see that. Just whoops, it's done. And now just elevate or ride your attention down from that place in your head down to your heart, and just allow your attention and your energy to just go right in your heart and just be right there. And just say to yourself, choose to be in space. I am space. And just see what that feels like to just allow everything to be as it is. You're right here on this call, and everything is as it is. The world is turning, and people are doing, and it's all okay. And just begin to feel that. See if you can feel any kind of subtle distinctions and any kind of movements of energy. There's no right and wrong. Just play with it and just see. Just be in space. And it can take a while. It can take a couple of years. I mean, I know it's taken me years to really be able to feel energy and distinctions of energy and to just trust that I don't have to create this, but I can just remember, oh, I can just let go. I don't have to resist. I can just give space to this. Okay, so just coming back, bringing your attention back to the class. So that's just a short little exercise, and you can practice that whenever you feel yourself maybe spinning out or resisting something. Just try that just as an exercise, okay? So that's space. So it all starts with space. Change begins with giving space to things as they are, to giving space to ourselves as we are, to our humanity, to all of these negative identities we have created and all the bads and opinions of bads, everything, all the resistance that we've built up to now. We just gradually begin to give space to it. That's the beginning. That's the first step. If that doesn't mean that we don't have a desire to change something, it's only that we are not going to use the negative energy, the resistance, against anything. And knowing that we can, now that we know we can only discharge negative energy by actually giving space to it, we learn to gradually discharge, just, you know, a little at a time, you know, because we've built these layers up. And we're just going to do it a bit at a time. We learn to discharge our creations of bad and all the resistances to those bads. And through giving space to them to exist as they are, eventually we come to a condition of space to the negative identities, which is really what we're wanting to discreate. But we have to discreate and dissolve all of the resistance around it first. It's the resistance that is really more trouble than the actual identities, okay? It's all of the bads and it shouldn't be, and I'm bad to be this way, and then all the years we've spent using our negative energy against that, which then creates more of that. And it's really, so we really need to just create those first, and that's really actually harder than the actual identities. And once we really release a lot of the charge, which is the resistance, we come to space of these negative identities, and they actually discreate and discharge naturally on their own. They'll naturally move on their own into the flow of life and actually be remodulated back as energy into the field. It's like they're, you know, these negative identities with all the resistance on top of it creates what's called like a energy mass. And, you know, you can feel like a knot. It's like an energy mass. And as we begin to give space to this, the space actually allows for the energy to soften and to gradually begin to dissolve, okay? So that's the first step. And then once we've, you know, spent quite a bit of time learning how to do that, then we actually can begin to generate, you know, solutions to or situations, positive situations that we'd like to experience instead, and we do that through generating positive identities. And then energizing those positive identities through positive energy and love until they begin to become a part of our experience and reality. Okay? So in summary, some of the things I've covered is, well, life in and of itself is a flow or a current of change. Okay? A desire to change, to be other than we are, to be different, is often motivated. Has often been motivated, and how we've been living our lives up to now, is often been motivated by an invalidation of what is. Any invalidation is just purely resistance, okay? But resistance causes persistence. Resistance breaks and sticks the natural flow of change. Space is acceptance of what is as it is. Space is non-resistance. So, therefore, space unlocks the knot of resistance and unsticks the flow and allows the natural flow of life. So, and then things can change naturally on their own. So, thus, space is the beginning of change. And space then ends that pain of suffering from the resistance, and it's the beginning of happiness. So, space, remember I said on the polarity spectrum, is the end of suffering and the beginning of love. That which most needs space is us. We need to mostly give space to ourselves and how we've been and how we're being, to the ways we have created ourselves. So therefore, to change anything, whether it's ourselves or the world, we must first give space to what is. And then once we give space to what is, we can concentrate then on energizing the positive situation desired. And we energize that through love and joy and through positive energy. So that is space. And it's very important because it's the beginning of change. And once you begin to give space to yourself, just to stop, just the activity of stopping, you know, all of the negative judgment and criticism, mainly towards ourselves, and just resting in having it be as it is, it's just, you can actually feel that in your body when you do it. It's actually such a relief, and that's the beginning of love, of self-love. So it's really a beautiful wisdom to come to, and this is part of, you know, life and learning the consequences of our experiences. And so here we are learning about space, which is we're acquiring wisdom. And it really is a powerful wisdom to have. And so that is my discussion on space. And I hope it's been very helpful. Okay. So, one other thing I want to say about this is, again, and I just want to keep repeating this because I just feel it's just so important, is that this is a way of life. It's like it becomes a way of life. So just to, again, be really kind and gentle and to continue to give space to that this is, you know, part of the human condition. All of this, these negative identities and these resistances and these creations of bad has been part of our human condition. It's our humanity. And I think, you know, we have to really give as much space to our creations as we possibly can. And I this weekend I had an experience of really being triggered into something this weekend, and I really had gave myself a lot of space for being human and for being triggered and reacting and being angry. And it was just really a wonderful experience. And I did the work, but so I'm just saying it's a process. It becomes a way of life, and we have really built up a lot of masses of energy, and so it's just a gradual unfolding, but it gets easier and more powerful as we learn to flow energies, as we learn to flow and discharge the negative energy, and as we learn to begin to energize positive identities and positive experiences that we want to actually bring into our experience. So I wanted to add that. Okay, so now we're going to move on to the cardiology portion of the class. And so science of the cards or cardiology, or some people know it as destiny cards. It's all the same thing. But it's an ancient system that helps us unfold our destiny. And it has two main, actually three. First, it helps us. It's a tool for self-understanding. When you understand what your birth and planetary ruling cards are, which are our two main cards, and the birth card is the card that rules the day you were born, and the birth card basically each card has a what's called a life path, and it has challenges and gifts, and it really has sort of a karmic package that kind of gives us information on what we're doing here. And the birth card is always a card that's in the life path, but it's the card that it's going to show how we actually are going to express what we came to do. So the birth card is what we came to do, and the planetary ruling card is how we've really come to express what we've come to do. So it's a tool for self-understanding. Once you understand the characteristics, the traits, the karmic packages of each of these cards, you can really have an understanding of why you're here and your gifts and your talents and how best to actually live out the life that you really had planned before you came here. So that's one aspect of it. And another aspect of it is, and this is the destiny part, for each year of your life, for each of the cards, they're what's called spreads, yearly spreads. There are also 7-year cycles and 13-year cycles, but so that's getting into more advanced learning. But there are cycles. So, but for the yearly spreads, there are cards, and each card represents a certain energy. And so, when you can look up the what year you are in, you can look up the cards, and it gives you information on what energies are present. And when you learn to align and harmonize yourself with the energies that are present, then it gives you information of knowing, you know, what you're working with. And if you kind of put your energy towards the cards, then it actually unfolds you're not going against the grain. You're actually going with the current. And that's not to say there won't be challenges, because there are, because it will help you not fight. It will help you to relax into what is present, again, which helps with the space, to give space to what is. And if this is, and if the energies are present, you know, and if it's maybe it's a year to really go within and be spiritual, maybe that's what the energies are saying. And if you harmonize yourself and just allow yourself to then go within, then actually your life will unfold in more and more increasingly successful ways. And by success, I mean that you actually become more and more yourself, and you actually are living life from within your consciousness, and your consciousness is expanding. So that's what I mean by more and more successful. And you actually, and by that token, you actually then naturally become more successful in the world in the ways that are actually going to benefit whatever your life purpose is, okay, and whatever your destiny is. So that's the second, I think, great use of the cards. And the third, and I haven't really mentioned it, I mean, I've alluded to it as people have called in, is you can actually do relationship comparisons. You can actually, through the cards, know how your energies connect with another person's energy. And this could be lovers, you know, or it could be business associates or friends and family. And once you can really understand how your energies are connected to another's, it really can help with relationships. Okay. Also, actually knowing other people's cards can help with the relationship because you begin to accept them as they are. You begin to understand, you know, some of what they're here and how they actually may respond to life and how they actually may express themselves. And it's a way of actually accepting, again, space. So it's self-understanding. It's you can see your destiny and learn to align yourself with the energies that are present, and you learn to go with the flow instead of going against them. And it can help with relationships. And, in fact, I am going to start offering on my website in the next week or so, I'm going to be adding relationship readings, and I'm going to be adding a way that you can actually get relationship reports. And they're going to be inexpensive, like $19.95 for a relationship report. And there'll be a PDF file that'll be emailed to you. The relationship readings will be more because the relationship readings will include the report, but they'll include a reading by me. So look for that in the next week or two. That'll be on my website. Okay, so that's something about the cards, and I'm going. And today is August 17, 2010. Today is a Nine of Clubs birth card and a ruling card because we're still in Leo territory, and Leos are the only signs. If you're born in Leo, your birth card is the same as your ruling card. Because the sun rules Leo, and so the sun card is really the birth card. So it's like, your as I said, the ruling card is the same as the birth card. It's like having a double dose of the card. So if you really want to really see how a card may manifest, really watch a Leo person. I mean, and it's almost like they're bigger than life. You know, lion, the king, big, you know. So they're like a personification of that card. So it's Nine of Clubs. And the Nine of Clubs is considered the sexiest card in the deck. Okay. So, actually, you'll see, like, a Nine of Clubs, especially, like, some of the men, you'll see they'll be playboys, you know, like Leonardo DiCaprio, Justin Timberlake, the Nine of Clubs, Sean Penn is a Nine of Clubs. Trying to think of somebody else. I know it's a Nine of Famous. It's a Nine of Clubs. You can kind of see these men. You know, they'll have relationships, but, you know, they may not get married until later in life. Okay? So it's considered the sexiest card in the deck. So sex and romance will play an important role in their life, and the main reason is because they have a Two of Hearts, which is the Lover's card, and Venus in the direct position. And the Two of Hearts is the strongest card of romance. But it's not necessarily a marriage card. Like I said, it's the Lover's card, okay? But what it does is it makes this person be able to experience a deep and profound romantic and sexual relationship, okay? But they also have a Six of Hearts and a Nine of Hearts in the Saturn, in their Saturn position in their life spread. And this means that there'll be lessons that they'll have to learn about using this considerable love power in a conscious and responsible manner. Okay, so, you know, so romance and relationships are important, but they also have some karma to work out in that area. And they have a Queen of Hearts first karma card, so they'll take parenting seriously because the Queen of Hearts is the mother card. It's also the wife. It's also so sensual and sex, but it's also a mother card. And if they have kids, they'll take that seriously. But since it's the first karma card, there'll usually be some issues with their children that they will have to work through. It won't be smooth sailing with their children. And with the Six of Diamonds, second karma card, this card is really financially responsible. Six is balanced karma, and diamonds is values and money. So it would make them really responsible financially, most of them. So, but the main essence of this card is completion because it's a nine. Nine is about letting go And it's nine is about, nines are here to complete, and they're also here to give. So with a club is the mental suit. So they're here to let go of beliefs and concepts and ideals and ideas that don't no longer serve them. It's a card of mental endings. And usually a nine of club will have some kind of mental fixation of some kind that they'll need to let go of. But they'll also it also gives them a mental gift of some sort. And the nine, they have a nine, it's like they're a nine already, and then right following, and which is the Mercury card. Any card that follows in the life spread, your birth card is your Mercury card, and they have a nine of spades as their Mercury card, and that means that that's going to color their childhood, the first 7 years of their life, so it's going to color their childhood experiences. And a nine of spades, nine again is ending, and nine of spades is the biggest ending that you can have. And so a nine of spades and Mercury, usually a nine of clubs, will have some kind of childhood experience that will leave kind of a mark, an indelible mark on their personality. And this will color their outlook on life since it happens in that very crucial seven-year period. And it could be that someone close to them in the family passed away, or there was some kind of big ending that impacted them, okay? And so, like I said, it'll color their outlook, their mental outlook. And so one of their missions will be in life is to be able to lift themselves into a higher mental outlook based on whatever happened to them. And sometimes you'll never really know, like the Nine of Clubs, you'll never know this about them. I mean, you'll know it now if you know about the Nine of Clubs, but they may not even show it, and it may be something that you might not ever know about them, but usually there was something that happened in childhood that left a big mark on them. And so nines are here to give, as I said, and a nine of clubs in particular is here to give knowledge and information to the world. And so when they can align themselves with that purpose that involves helping others and giving information, that's where they'll find their greatest fulfillment. And this will, you know, like I said, involve dispensing information to others. And so you'll see nine of clubs who are teachers, writers, they're in publishing, or they're even acting, you know, actors and actresses, and that'll be the way in which they're dispensing information. So that's the nine of clubs, okay? And I know I have a friend who's a nine of clubs. So that is my information on cardology, and I'm going to unmute and see if there's anyone on the line who would like a reading. If not, I will just give some more information about cardology. So I'm going to unmute and see if we have any takers. Hello? Is there anyone who would like a reading today? I know there are some people on the call. Okay. Going once. Do you want to just hear me talk?
Melissa?
Yeah?
Hi, it's Ellen Yeoman.
Hi. Hello. Long time no see and hear.
I know.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing really well, and I am actually just listening to the universe and paying attention and doing exactly what it's telling me to do. And yesterday I had a really interesting experience with oracles. And so this is my oracle today. I went online on my cell phone. I'm lying here having had no power in my house. Anyway, I was reading. And and I thought, something hit me, and I thought, okay, I need to check my mail. And there you were. And I had not listened to one of your calls yet because I've been traveling, and I'm getting all kinds of support to pay attention to all the signs and signals and everything that comes to me regarding my upcoming new project. So I would love a reading.
Oh, wonderful. I'd love to give you one. Okay, so what I need is your birthday, and then if you could just tell me how old you are so I don't have to figure that out. So what's your birthday?
December 18,
1952. Okay. So, and how old would that make you? 58? No, 57.
Uh-huh, 57.
You're 57. Okay, December 18. Oh, it's Brad Pitt's birthday.
All right. Well, I went into college in Laguna, and a man came outside after we met and chatted with the kids and all that stuff and my kids. And I was leaning out my window, and he says, "Hey, Ellen." Now, this is the man that's in the front, uh-huh. in the house right in front. And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Did you tell me to do a course called Calling in the One?" And I said, "Yeah."
Uh-huh.
"How did you know that?" And he said, "Oh, I'm so psychic." And he started to laugh. And I said, "No, really." And he said, "Well, my girlfriend thinks that she was in that class with you." And I said, "What is her name?" And he said, "Laura Taylor."
Laura? Oh, really?
Laura.
Oh, goodness.
Lives in the house directly across the street from me that I'm renting.
Oh, are you in L.A.? Or are you renting in L.A.?
Well, I'm in Austin right now. But I'm at home, but I've rented a cottage in Laguna where Laura lives.
Yeah. Okay, wow. Yeah, I saw her in April. I was out there in April.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, wow. It's. I love it. I love connecting. I love that it's a small world in the sense that we can, you know, be connected.
Like, yeah, and the support is so tremendous.
I know. I mean, I think, you know, creating community, living in community, realizing that we actually need each other to thrive.
Yes.
You know, it's just, it's so beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, cool. Okay. All right. So you are, your birth card is a King of Hearts, and your ruling card is a Two of Diamonds. Okay. And I'll just tell you a bit about your birth card and your ruling card, and then I'll look at your spreads that you have going this year. Okay.
Right.
Well, a king, well, of course, you know, king, the highest, you know, card in the suit of hearts. So that would make you a master of relationships, okay?
Oh, man.
Meaning, you know, you have an innate knowing of how to, you know, to be in relationships with others. It's really the father card, but it's like you have mastery over people, not over them, but you have mastery with people and in your relationships with people, okay?
Okay.
So, and if you, you know, once you know this about yourself, you can just tap into that. And whenever there's conflict, you probably have more skills to be able, whether you know it or not, to be able to kind of get the relationship back on track, okay?
Okay.
But some of, like, the sort of issues with a King of Hearts is that they have a Two of Clubs first karma card, and two is, you know, is logic, and clubs is the mind, and it's going back and forth. So they can also be prone to arguing or expressing themselves in a way that may not be, you know, the most positive. Because our first karma card is what we've come here to learn to integrate. It makes you have a really quick mind and a mm-hmm. logical mind and, you know, kind of
stubborn.
Yeah, well, very smart mind. You know that part of you that, like, your comedy?
Uh-huh.
You know, part of you that comes up with these quick-witted things or, uh-huh. you know, ways of seeing life that are
mm-hmm.
humorous. That's part of that Two of Clubs. But on the side that needs to be integrated is the part that where it would go into maybe a negative conversation or negative arguing. But but it also has this gift of being, you know, brilliant, okay? But the King of Heart, you know, you really take the raising of children very seriously. Like I said, it's the father's card. It's the one that's really going to be the one that's going to sort of in some ways look over the family, look over the children. And children are very important to you, sometimes maybe to the detriment of your partner, you know, because, you know,
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's something about the King of Hearts. Now, the Two of Diamonds is your planetary ruling card. And the Two of Diamonds is, it's like the, you would have a natural ability to be like a business wheeler dealer. You know, I mean, diamonds is value, but it's also money, and two is partnership. You know, it's logic, but it's also partnership. And any two, you know, and you have that two, you know, you're already, you know, prone towards relationships with the king of being the king of heart, and then you have that two of clubs versus hermit card, and so that's about relationship. Any two would actually learn their, you know, part of their life is really learning through relationships. So you've got a two of diamonds, and so it's business relationships. So you would want to really, a part of you would really want to be doing business with people in your life, and, you know, you're equipped to be successful in business. But the biggest lessons, though, with a two of diamonds is it is actually the area of partnerships. I mean, they need partnerships, and they would be great in business partnerships, but not as great in the area of love. But with your king of hearts, it gives you more of an ability to be able to be to do love. But like a two of diamonds would have a problem with, you know, having with work, with maybe work and relationships having that going at the same time.
Okay.
And with the two of diamonds, I think their main challenge is that they have like an ace of hearts in Pluto, and Pluto is always the area that's like our lifelong challenge. And ace of hearts could be this place where we feel like we're not getting enough love, or somehow we don't realize that, you know, love is within us, and that we have to learn how to really be able to access and tap into that love within ourselves, whether we're in a relationship or not. Okay, but that ace of hearts there can make them feel really lonely and make them really have a desire for it, but somehow they still haven't figured out how to actually have it and how to be successful and work at the same time. So it really then that would require just really doing work on issues of feeling lonely and feeling abandoned and really being able to tap into that eternal source of love, okay? So these are sort of the two cards that you're working with in this life. And so now I'm going to look at your spreads for this year and see what's going on. Do you have a particular question or area that you'd like me to look at that I could give you some direction or guidance in?
Yeah, it would be in the area of, because I'm starting a new a book project, and the woman that I'm working with, she is so optimistic and encouraging. She's got so much more belief in this project, although I've been told by several different psychics around the country, shamans, whatever, that what I'm getting ready to do is big, that, like, the universe seems to hear it. I mean, it's so ridiculous as it sounds to me, over the top, but I've had so many people different, coming from different angles and perspectives, say the same thing. So I'm real curious as what you might have to offer in terms of the universe supporting this book project.
Okay. Well,
I don't know if it's a question, really, Clarissa, but...
I think I understand. Okay, so this is what I'm seeing is in terms of the energies that are present. And I'm going to look in both your King of Hearts and your Two of Diamonds spread. And right now I am looking at your, I'll start with your Two of Diamonds spread, because the first thing I really see that's striking to me is that you have a long, and you have a long range Six of Hearts, and any six in a year long, there are cards that govern certain periods during the year, and then there are cards that are in effect the whole entire year. And your long range card is in effect the entire year, and it's actually the focus of the year, and it's a six of hearts. And any six is about coming into our destiny, what we meant to do. Okay, you have a six of hearts, so it's something that's in your heart to do, that you're destined to do, and you have a queen of spades underneath that. And the queen of spades is about inner self mastery. So it sounds like you have been getting information about something that's deeply in your destiny, and now you need to really master your inner fears around that so that you can begin to fulfill that destiny. And another year-long card that you also have is the Seven of Spades. You're displacing the Seven of Spades. That means a wish. You're going to get a wish fulfilled this year, but also what the Seven of Spades is, it's the biggest card of faith. You have to have faith in what you're doing. Even if you don't see how it's going to happen or how it's going to unfold. It's a card of really you coming into faith in yourself and in what in the information that you've been receiving, okay? And six also is, it's also kind of a psychic number, too. So if you're receiving information, it's like trusting that. And if you're getting all these signs about go here, and you follow that, and you just put one foot in front of the other, and you're not going to see the end, but you're going to see the next step that will be revealed. And it's about having faith and putting one foot in front of the other and walking the path and doing whatever you have to do within yourself to let go of these fears as you're walking along the path, okay?
Awesome.
And you have an Eight of Diamonds result, which means you're going to have money. By the end of the year, you'll have the money you need to do whatever you want to do, like whether it's to buy something. An Eight of Diamonds is usually you'll have the money to for some purchase you've been wanting.
Okay? My God.
What?
I said, oh, my God.
Yeah. So that's just in your in your Two of Diamonds. Now let me look in your King of Hearts and see what it says. So that, I mean, I would definitely say, you know, you're on the right track. Just continue to have faith in yourself. And again, so in your King of Hearts, you're displacing the Six of Hearts. The very card that's your long range card in your Two of Diamonds is your displacement card. That means you have to pay attention to this. That means, and you have to be doing it. So that means you have to be on the lookout, which I'm hearing you're doing, on what is your destiny, and then you have to actually do it. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay? So there it is again. Okay? Double sign of this, your destiny, fulfilling your destiny, and taking action on it. But I could see where you might be worried because you have a Three of Diamonds long range in your King of Hearts spritz. And the Three of Diamonds it's about diversity. It's about maybe doing two things at once, and it's about creative ways. In this case, it would be creative ways of making money. But on the other side of it, it's worry about. It's, it could be worry because you may have too many things going on in your mind. Threes are very creative, and they got a lot of ideas, and sometimes if it's not grounded, it can lead to worry and sometimes, you know, ill health. But so you want to just find a way to ground all of your thoughts and ideas, you know, through, you know, whatever way is best for you.
Right.
And really just, you know, trust, have faith, and follow through with your ideas one at a time. And then you also have a Three of Spades, Pluto, which is so you got this three energy challenge going on with you. You know, that's you with all the thoughts and really being able to just channel all this energy. And like I said, just put one foot in front of the other, knowing that, you know, you don't have to do everything at once. You're not going to be able to do everything at once. But just breathe and find a way to ground yourself and to channel this energy, all the while having faith and all the while with intention that you have the power and you have tools to learn how to dissolve any kind of, you know, negative thoughts or ideas that may be that need to go in order for you to take the next step forward. Okay. And Three of Spades is also like working two jobs at once or having more than one project going at once.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have that going? Well, I know you probably do.
Yeah, I do, but it's, I had one fellow tell me, sell your house, Ellen, you've got too much going on, and I said, well, that probably would soften a lot of this, as you call diversity, and I call it scatteredness going on for me, to hone in and bring that focus in,
Yeah. So and just the other thing I would say, I think there are a couple more things. You have a Ten of Clubs result, which is the biggest card of publishing there could be. It's
What is this?
Project?
It's all about publishing a book.
That's the card of publishing. There you go. It's a done deal. So you just have to trust it. You've got that Ten of Clubs, that's publishing, and then that's the result. That's what you'll end up with. You know, so I don't know whether you'll end up with a publisher or if you already have a publisher or they'll be published, but somehow publishing is favorite for you. And on top of that, as your environment card, you've got the Ten of Diamonds. So, wow, you got a great money year because you had that Eight of Diamonds result, and then and Eight of Diamonds and Ten of Diamonds and $700 are the biggest money cards you could have, okay? Ten of Diamonds.
than the Ten of Diamonds?
Yeah, and the Seven of Diamonds, but the Seven of Diamonds, you have to actually know how to use the Seven of Diamonds. The seven, any seven is a spiritual number, and you have to overcome material challenges and go to the spiritual side. But once you do, it opens you up to unlimited stuff. But you've got, as I said, you've got the Eight of Diamonds result in your Two of Diamonds spread, and now you've got a Ten of Diamonds environment, and the environment is what we're blessed with for the year.
Wow.
So you have the capacity to actually, you know, be blessed with lots of money, big amounts of money. A 10 is anything large, and also 10, because you have that 10 of clubs, public, 10 is audiences. It's large. It's reaching a big crowd. So that's why publishing, you know, falls under the Ten of Clubs. It's reaching a lot of people through information,
yeah,
some kind of way. And so that would include audiences. And a Ten of Diamonds would be another way in which something is large. So the possibility of large money is there. So you've got a great year. The only thing that would be holding you back is the three
worry.
Energy, this the worry.
Yeah.
You know, and somehow the lack of faith in what you're meant to do. So it's, I would work with the worry. You know, find a way to channel that,
mm-hmm,
and then really just, again, you know, use your tools. You have tools. And also,
yeah,
too, under this Three of Diamonds, you got an Eight of Clubs. So that gives you the ability. At eight is power and focus. Clubs is mental. At Eight of Clubs is the most, one of the most fixed cards. It is a fixed card. There are like three fixed cards, and Eight of Clubs is one of them. But what that means is they can be stubborn, but what that means is you have the ability to focus your mind. It's sitting underneath that Three of Diamonds. So even though you've got all this energy, all these ideas, you this year will have the ability to focus that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got some supportive energies. It's just waiting for you to just say, okay, I'm stepping into this. I'm going to harmonize myself. I'm going to align myself with this, and I'm going for it.
That is wild. It's just amazing. It's like, okay, universe, I got it going on.
Yeah, you do. You do. Well, you got it going on anyway, just by you being who you are, and the universe is saying, hey, well, we're going to help you become more and more yourself so you can just shine your light.
Oh, that's so cool. You sound so wonderful, too, and you're doing fabulous.
Excuse me, am I doing fabulous?
You are. No, I said it sounds as if you said you just sound great. You sound like you're doing fabulous.
Oh, yeah, I am. I am, you know, just accepting more and more of myself every day. That's it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. I'm like,
well,
so myself.
Yes. Well, wow, this has been another amazing confirmation about the direction I'm headed, and really giving me some clarity of, like, okay, no more questions. Just do what all these 10 people are telling you to do.
Yeah, well, if you question, just give yourself space to that, and then, you know, then you'll just, you know, move forward from there. All in love, all in acceptance of where we are, because it's a process, and so it's okay. I mean, you know, just love yourself through it. And but you know deep down, okay, this is it. This is now. This is the time.
Right, right. Oh, wow. This has been amazing.
Okay. Any other questions?
I think I should stop now while the going's good.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, it was great giving you a reading. I'm just going to check and see if anybody else, you know, we've got like 6 minutes. If there's anybody else who'd like a reading in the 6 minutes that we have left. So if you want, you can just press.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're so welcome. If you can just press 4-star, that'll mute you.
Okay, great.
And I'll just see if there's anyone there. So great to hear from you, Ellen. Good
you
luck, and keep me posted on what you're doing.
I definitely will. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay. All right. Is there anyone else who would like a little quick mini reading or just have a question? I could look at your spreads real quick. Okay. Well, then, in that case, for the 5 minutes we have left, you know, I think what I'm going to do is to just give a brief kind of summary of the numbers. I'm going to start of the suits. So I'm going to start with the ace. And this is just like a little brief little class on if your card is, if you're an ace, you know, you, that means you're an initiator. Ace is the number one, represents the number one, it's the beginning. So you're a person who's an initiator, who's starting something, and aces have strong passion for things that what that's represented by their suit. But they also can be loners, okay, and they're also often impatient because it's like they're new in the world, like they're just beginning, they're come out and they're impatient to experience and explore everything. So that would be an ace. A two is very relationship oriented. You know, relationships and cooperation are essential to their soul patterns. They learn and they grow and they through relationships. They need partners and relationships to help them feel complete and balanced. It's also they're also you know very logic oriented. A three, I was just talking with Ellen about those three energies she had. They're extremely creative, you know, and they love self-expression. You know, they dislike anything that's routine, and they need a certain amount of variety. And they like short trips, and they express themselves best through the suit of their card, of course. And the thing about, though, that all that creative energy, though, is that they can be indecisive at times, and they can worry at times, and they can get bored very easily, okay? So that's a three. A four is makes you very solid and grounded, okay, very stable. There's a certain amount of satisfaction in your life that's related to whatever suit the four is in, you know. And they can be strong and fixated at times and very stubborn because they're just very solid, very grounded, okay. Five, so you can begin to get some idea, like the odd numbers are a little bit more kind of out there. The even numbers are a little bit more steady, okay? So like a five is a rest would be a person who's very, very restless. They like change, love change. They love to travel. You know, they have trouble, you know, really just sticking with one thing and sinking their roots and making commitments because they like freedom. They like to experience everything that life has to offer, especially in regards to their suit, okay? So six is a card of, it's like a card of stableness, a stability. You know, they like things to remain the same. And the thing with a six, though, sometimes they can get stuck in the mud because they don't want to, you know, move. They can just get so stuck in having everything stay the same. And a lot of times they can't be swayed or moved. And they're very responsible. It's a card of karma and it's a card of responsibility. You know, they can be very responsible and especially as related to their suit. And they know the law, and they can also be peacemakers. But it's like the strange dichotomy with sixes. They're peacemakers because, you know, they like balance and they like evenness, but they also can be very competitive. You know, you get a lot of sports figures who are sixes, okay? So it's sort of an interesting thing. They like things to be balanced, but maybe it's because they like things to be fair and balanced that they can be competitive, you know? So a seven is, like I said, a spiritual number, and they're basically a spiritual person, or this is what they've come in here to actually work with, is learning how to come from more of an enlightened point of view, okay? And they actually will get more from giving to others than receiving, okay? And they have the ability to be able to step into the spiritual side of whatever suit they're in. Like if they're a club, they can kind of go into enlightened mind very easy. It's almost like they're straddling two worlds because seven is the middle number of the suits. It's right smack dab between the ace and the king. And it's almost like they have one foot in the mundane world and one foot in the spiritual world of whatever suit they're in. But it's basically a card of where they have to go to the spiritual side and go into gratitude, okay? So that's a seven. And an eight is as a person who would really be a person of power. It's the card of focus and card of power, you know. And but with power comes great responsibility. So eights have to actually learn how to use their power very responsibly and very wisely. And if they don't, you know, they really can get off balance and cruise, you know, some experiences that they'll have to kind of go through, okay? And because of this power, they have to learn not to bully others with it and not try to use it to force other people to do things their way. They have to really learn how to use it very wisely. But an eight, very, very powerful number, okay? And a nine is the other spiritual number. And this person would need to become someone who would be a very universal person, meaning that they're sort of purpose has to be one where they're doing a lot for others and for humanity at large, okay, for groups of people. They have to learn to give. They're here to complete many things, and part of that is to actually learn how to give what their, you know, gifts and talents are to others on a large scale. A 10 would be someone who would have a lot, be able to have a lot of personal accomplishment. It's a card of power. But it's a card of it enlarges everything it touches. So it would be a card where it would be big. You know, a 10 might be have a tendency to do something. It's sort of like an ace, but a 10 has the experience that an ace doesn't have. It's like the 10 has had the experience all from the ace all the way up to through the 9. And so they're, you know, an initiator and they're a leader, but they have all this experience behind them. And so it really is a card of power, and especially a card that can really have an ability to do things in a large way. And a jack, the last three are the royal cards, and the first one would be a jack. Jacks are very youthful, very creative, and like I said, a member of the royal family. They're very smart. They're very powerful. They also like their freedom, but they can be a little bit immature and tricky sometimes because it's like the jacks have all the benefits of being a king or a queen. I mean, they have all this power, but they don't necessarily have the responsibility of being a king or a queen. And actually, I think jacks are here to eventually come to step into, you know, being a king or a queen, but very creative, very freedom-oriented. And the queen is a master of whatever suit it's in, okay? And they're a master, but they do it in a way that's nurturing to others. They're here to nurture and to provide, you know, they're here to provide others with their gifts. And so, but like I said, they're masters and of their suit. And a king is similar. It's a master of his suit, and it's leadership. And a king will demand recognition from others. So it's leadership abilities, and it's a lot of power and wisdom. And they lead more through sort of an outward doing, whether a queen would actually lead more through being of service to others in some kind of way, giving to others in some kind of way, being of service. And a king may be out there more in a leadership ability and where they're actually maybe outwardly it seems like they're making a decision, like a president would be a king, you know. So they're serving and they're a master, but it's sort of like it's an outward leadership ability, okay. So that's a little something about the numbers and of the cards. And if you're one of those, if you know what your birth card or planetary ruling card is and you want one of them, hopefully that'll give you a little bit more insight into, you know, some of your traits and qualities and characteristics. Okay, well, I think we're at the end of the hour. Actually, we went a little over. That's okay. And I had a lot of fun today. And I want to thank everyone who's on the call, and it really is. I really appreciate having people to dance and play with. So all of you who are brave enough to get readings, I want you to know I really appreciate it, and it helps me to grow. And it's a way in which I can actually give and to share what I have discovered in my life, and it's always a blessing for me, so I thank you. And as always, this call is being recorded, and it will be on my website to download sometime in the next few days. So I wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful day, and I will speak with you all, or hopefully I'll meet all of you. Many of you already know. But take care. Have a wonderful day. I'll be here next week. Bye.